Welcome to another C3 Church Rockingham podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au.
And I just want to encourage you with 3 points today, and they come from my own experience. I've just cobbled together a few bits and pieces, and because I get the privilege of starting this series, I can be very general in nature because I'm aware that we're all living busy lives. We've got mortgages that won't stop. We've got power bills that won't stop. We've got school fees, and we've got to make lunches, and we've got to do hair and vacuum cars, and there's just so many things to do. How, on the other side of the coin, do we then do what God wants us to do? We've got to create it's got to become habitual in us. It's got to become something that we do eventually without thinking. It takes about 6 weeks, and as you just generate, and that's why it's important. How long is this groundswell series going? About 8 weeks. See, you'll have a habit. You'll just be super blessed by the end of it, I'm sure. So if you don't know me, my name's Darren. I've been a pastor for 22 years. My better third, my wife, is running our church at the moment. She's my better third because she's only about this big, so I'm about twice the size of her. And she's running the service. She sends her love. We love your pastors, Pastor Claude and Carol, and they are fantastic. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm telling you what is interesting to me. And I'm hoping to create some interest in you about what I'm interested in. Because if I do that, that makes me interesting. Don't be against stuff. Be for stuff. Other than AFL umpires, you can be against them because they stink. Yellow maggots? No, that's bad. Be for stuff. So I'm into AFL, I'm into cricket. I was chatting to Dan before. He's like the best cricketer I've ever met. Unbelievable. Told me about his first bald duck, which was great. I'm into history. I'm a history buff. I love history. History informs me. I've always been into it. I've got plenty of relatives that fought in numerous wars, so military history. But you know, I got sick of unchurched people caning me about the Crusades. Oh, what about the Christians and the Crusades? And I'm like, yeah, what about them? Better find out. So I went and bought a big book, read them all, and then that got me interested in another guy named Genghis Khan. The Chinese call him Chinggis Khan. The Westerners call him Genghis Khan, so I halved it in the middle and called him Genghis Khan. And whilst what I found out is whilst the Crusades cost somewhere around 300,000 deaths across all five Crusades, which is terrible, 300,000, but at the same time, exactly the same time period, the godless, faithless Genghis Khan was slaughtering somewhere between 10 million and 80 million. They can't quite tell. No one says a thing. The blinking Christians are terrible, horrible, evil, disastrous people, and we should wipe the Bible out of existence. But Genghis Khan over there just chopping off heads willy-nilly. No one cares. What? There was some European envoys, diplomats, who went to find out what was going on because they'd sent letters and no one responded because they were all dead. And they ride their horses, and as they're riding along, the horses start losing their balance, and they're going, what's wrong with our horses? They jump off and the ground was soft because of all the bodies buried under it. Do you want me to tell you some more? I won't. I've been giving lots of love to that side. I'll give some love to this side now. So I read history. So then I read Genghis Khan, and now I'm halfway through the biography of Jerusalem. Because they're all sort of similar, you know. And what does it do for me? Well, it makes me feel much better about Donald Trump. It does. And in a real sense, it makes me feel much better about Vladimir Putin. Because, you know, as you read history, you find out that there were some much worse world leaders than these two guys. Everyone just sparks up on social media. I'm like, dude, seriously, get a grip. Have a read of a book. See what's back there. There's some seriously dark fellows. And some of the, you ladies can get pretty dodgy at times. Service. Some pretty serious guys. Oh, I'm back over here again. I mean, Nero just blames the Christians because he wanted to clear out some of Rome so he could build some more palaces. Who can we blame? Let's blame the Christians. And then use them as streetlights, covered them in oil and then set them up on a pole and set them on fire. Woo! Then we've got Adolf Hitler. I mean, everyone knows about him, but you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of the pastors during the Third Reich, and he started a group of churches called the Protesters. They were trying to protest against the Third Reich Church, which was against Jews, of course, and other people. And so what Hitler's commanders, it wasn't him necessarily, but his underlings grabbed a bunch of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's pastors and put him in prison, right? Imprisoned them. And the good Lutheran and Catholic German population went off their nut. They went berserk. How dare you? Everyone says they just float along. Well, you got to read the book. They didn't, right? How dare you imprison our wonderful God-fearing young pastors just for leading us in worship on a Sunday? Don't do that. And the people went berserk, and so they released them. They had to release them. They were terrified. They nearly lost their grip. This much. And then they come up with a much better idea than putting them in prison. They recruited them into the army and sent them to the Eastern Front, where they had to fight for the Third Reich, and they were all killed in action. What a sneaky trick to do that. See, so I can recount for you dozens upon dozens of despicable world leaders. It is not the end. It is not the end until the Lord says it's the end. It's not the end until the Lord says it's the end. And he says in Hebrews that he is the author and finisher of our faith, which means he's the beginning and the end. And when you say, I think I'm at the end of my rope, well, that's a good thing, because Jesus is there waiting for you, because he's the end of your rope as well as the beginning of your rope, right? So it's a good thing. It is not the end. Don't be despondent about any political thing going on. The Lord God is in control. My favourite verse, Jeremiah 32. O sovereign Lord, you created the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. I pray that nearly every day. He is in control. He is the boss. So make sure you develop your interests. It might be motorbike riding. It might be four-wheel driving. It might be crocheting. It might be tapestries. Who knows what it might be? Expand, explore your interests. I have silly interests, like I have a favourite letter. Who here has a favourite letter? Anyone favourite letter? Yeah, a couple of people favourite letter. Yeah, my letter B. The letter B is the best letter. It starts a wonderful word like beautiful. Beauty. You just feel better, don't you? You feel better. Actually, you feel brilliant. And it's not just words that start with the letter B, it's words that have a B in the middle, like ebullient. That means super enthusiastic. You could use a word like enthusiasm. Well, ebullient. How do you feel today? Ebullient. Well, I'm going to write that down because that makes me feel better. And then, of course, the piece de resistance, words that end in B, superb. Superb. It just creates a conversation. It's a similar thing. You can have things like, what is your favourite council vehicle? People don't talk about these type of things. What is your favourite council vehicle? Some people would lean, obviously, towards the community bus, you know, because it's nice, it brings people around, everyone's happy in it, they sing songs, community bus is good. Others really prefer, the garbage disposal truck, because it comes and takes those terrible smells away. You know, so that's a good thing. But for me, my favourite council vehicle is the street sweeper. Whenever the street sweeper comes around, I'm just like, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. I saw the street sweeper go down my street the other day, right? I see it go down. So I know it's going to be winding its way around. And my neighbour is like 82 years old. He is an old guy and he does his very best, but he has a tree, a deciduous tree, which just drops leaves everywhere. And so his name, funnily enough, is Brian. Did you feel that? I felt it. And so I ran around, knocked his door. Brian, Brian, the street sweepers are here. And he looked at me. What? What? Let's get your leaves. So he grabbed a couple of rakes and we just raked his leaves straight off, raked them all onto the road. Raked all his leaves onto the road. The street sweeper comes along and he's like, I don't know what that meant, but he's just like, went back and forward, swept all the leaves up. You couldn't wipe the smile off Brian's face. He was ebullient. So what are your interests? Well, the groundswell is, it starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. Thinking about, firstly, how amazing God is. How can you possibly share your faith in Christ if you think he's just mediocre? He's just, you know, he's just reasonable. I mean, who watched the Eagles game last night? Who is happy? Who has talked? Put your hand up if you've talked about it since the end of the game in some way, shape or form. Look at you, AFL evangelists right there. Because the game to us was wunderbar, superb, you talk about it with others. When we see Christ as being wonderful, superb, of course we will share him and his goodness in our world to others. Not theoretically, not, oh, well, he did this though over there. What did he do in you? What has he done in you? And that's what we share. We share our story, what he's done in us. I want to put up a scripture, which is a good one for me. It's from Psalm 145, from the Message. If we could pop that up on the screen, that'd be great. Look at this. God is magnificent. What is God? What is God like? He is magnificent. People say, oh, God is good. Yep, I understand that, and there's a deep theological meaning of that, but he is magnificent. You know, when people ask me about my daughter's wedding in January last year, they say, oh, so how was your daughter's wedding? It was a magnificent day. You could ask me next year, I will say exactly the same thing because it was the truth. It was a magnificent day. As soon as you ask me, it takes me back to that day and just enjoying the vibe of not having a blood-sucking leech taking all the money out of my pocket. Sorry. Is this microphone on? No, she is magnificent. Why? Because she's made in his image. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. He is limitless. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. When people say, oh, Darren, that was an awesome whatever, it's not true. The word awesome can only be used for God. He is truly, it's when you... Has anyone here been to Santorini? Santorini? Yeah. Magnificent place. It's a reasonable place. Because magnificent. When you open the door and look out onto the caldera and the islands, and you just go, oh, wow, that is unbelievable. Look it up. Just type in Santorini, hit Google Pictures. It is awe-inspiring. You just, wow. And so generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. What is your story about what God has done in your world? You need to think about your story. You haven't paid enough attention to your story. Because you know what? Our troubles, our difficulties are like my fingers. Right? They're like this. They're like static on a TV screen. All you see, the troubles in front of you. And you're like, oh, I can't get through. If only they would end. They won't end. You've got to see through them and remember God's magnificence and start remembering the wonderful stories and things he's done in your world. What has he done in your world? Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are headline news. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. We've got to remember the Lord's wonderful greatness and magnificence. Get his awe into your world. I was going to show a video. I haven't got time to show that video. So instead, I'm going to go to that next picture. Let's the 2012, the lightning thing. Anyone go to the Sky Show? So this was 2012 Sky Show. I was there. I was on the shore of the Swan River, and I remember there was just those heavy, dark clouds, and it was stormy, and we're kicking the footy, playing cricket, whatever, doing whatever. And you know how they have the fireworks going, and then at the end, they have the big one, the big firework that they brought in from China, because China does all the best fireworks. They actually do. They gunpowder the whole bit. They were brilliant. You know, this big red chrysanthemum of some sort, and it's just going to fill the sky. They promote it the whole time. And sure enough, up it goes. We had reasonable fireworks, but then up comes the biggest, best thing the world has ever known. And at that moment, lightning comes down, and a photo was taken. Come on. Oh, Sovereign Lord, you created the heavens and the earth by your mediocre power. No, your great power. Nothing, not one single thing is too difficult for you. He's just showing us how magnificent he is. How magnificent he is. Who loves getting sunburned? No one loves getting sunburned. We've got this amazing orb of warmth sitting in our sky, providing perfect temperatures for us, especially where we live. We actually live in the best place. And you know, our sun is magnificent because it's made in his image. But if I was to show you a picture, which I don't have here, of I think it's the third largest sun, known sun in our universe, called Betelgeuse, it is 700 times larger than our sun and 1,500 times hotter. If I was to put a picture of Betelgeuse on the screen with our sun, I couldn't even put a dot on the screen to show you the comparison in size. But you didn't know that. There's a lot of things about God's wonder and magnificence that we don't know about. Oh, Sovereign Lord. Oh, Sovereign Lord. You know, talking about suns, for all the people living today, around 7 billion people, our universe is so large that every single living person could personally own 4 billion suns, stars, and there would still be some left over. There are that many suns in our universe. Our universe is that large that every living person could personally own 4 billion stars and there would still be some left over. You are magnificent. He can solve your deal. He can solve your problem. My goodness. If you can create and organize that whole deal, that is pretty darn organized. He doesn't even have a PA, for goodness sake. I've got a photo by an artist named William Delafield Cook. It's called The Haystack. Got The Haystack. This is on display at the Perth Art Museum. I love this painting so much. It fills a whole wall. You can't, if I was standing next to it, I would come up to about where the sky starts. It is that large. I have been to the art museum twice now just to stand in front of it and look at it. I just stand there. And all of you right now are going, dude, seriously, stop. Stop talking. There's nothing you can say here that's going to get better. But you don't realize. You're looking just at a haystack. You don't realize the skill and the time it took to show how wonderful a painting this is. Look at all the detail. I mean, he's got to start way back. When he started painting this painting, he has to start way back. Put his basic coat of azure blue on the top and his basic coat of dark on the bottom. And we've got another photo that takes you in a little closer. Boop. Look at that. Whoa. Whoa. keeps changing in front of us. Look at the darkness there. Look at the dark patch. He's got to go way back. That is way back in the painting. That painting is so deep, you could never swim in it. It is so deep. And then he's got to bring forward the light browns, the tans, the golds, even to the creams and the beiges. So many different colours are contained, but when we first looked at it, we just saw blue and brown and a bit of yellowy sort of colour. The detail, the depth of this painting, you can even see the outline of the canvas. Painted in 1983, pretty recent. He died in 1990-something. So. That's us. If William Delafield Cook is metaphorically the Lord, he has created us. On the surface, just a haystack. There's plenty of haystacks throughout this. But on closer examination, we see the depth and the richness and the attention to detail so wonderfully and perfectly made, made in his complex, wonderful, magnificent image. That is the truth. If you're okay, put your hand on your head. Just touch your head. It's there. Who here's got a brain? Anyone? Remember the 4 billion suns each that you all personally own? Contained in that melon of yours, in that grey matter, is a little, it's so small. It's a wonderful little thing called a synapse. And it relays electrical current, which helps give you hearing, sight, flavour, aroma, touch, heat. And they spark. In each of your melons, there are more synapses in one brain than all the stars in all the universe combined. God is a God who creates massive. So large, the word light year doesn't even comprehend. But then he's into the minutiae. More synapses in your brain than all the stars in all of the universe's one brain. Didn't happen by accident, folks. Intentional design. Ephesians 2:10, I mean, it's an obvious scripture. Chuck it up there. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. For you to have a groundswell in your world, you have to know you are made magnificently by a magnificent God. You need to be excited by that. You need to help allow that truth to throw off any darkness in your world. You do not have permission to look darkly upon yourself. You are too wonderfully and brilliantly and perfectly made to look darkly upon yourself. That is a lie. Those feelings and those emotions are lying to you. Don't believe everything you think. Write it down, tweet that. Okay, I'm going to show you one more scripture. I've got, is that 1 minute 30 left? 1 minute 30. Okay. So, God is good. He is amazing. He is magnificent. Where does that leave us? We'll have a look at Ephesians 1, 4-5. If I'm going to share one scripture with a new believer or someone seeking faith in the Lord, I'm reading them this. John 3:16 is fantastic. Use it. But this one is my favourite. Long ago, even before he, God, made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. Long ago. So this is not a short-term plan. This is something from a long time ago. The Greek would call it chronos, time, somewhere way before. How long? What, before Nero? Before the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD? No, even before he made the world. Are you serious? God's plan goes way back. Way back. way back, and he loved us. You know what? You know what it means for him to love us apart from his awesome goodness of loving us? It means we are lovable. You are lovable. I mean, let's talk about algebra. It's got a B in it, but that's the only redeeming feature. It's not that lovable. Collingwood is another one. It's not that lovable. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. Doesn't matter what you think about yourself, but you are loved. And chose us. You know what it's like to not be chosen? I was picked last. They picked girls in front of me. I know. They were actually better than me, so it was a good thing, right? I was picked last for a sports team. Neither team wanted me. I still carry that with me. I've spent thousands of dollars on therapists getting me through that. He chose you. You know, people talk about needy people. You don't want that. We need the Lord, but the Lord doesn't need us. He does not need us. He wants us. If he needs us, it gets a bit inky, but he wants you. He wants you. You are wanted. That is really cool to be wanted. Wow. Where's my scripture gone? It's gone. There it is. That's back. Chose us, but he chose us in Christ. That's the key. He chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. Well, Jordan talked about sinning on Wednesday. I'm just thinking about yesterday. You know, I just yelled at those umpires so badly. So badly. Forget about Wednesday. Wednesday's in the past. Yesterday. Without fault in his eyes. Doesn't matter what other people think in their eyes, without fault in his eyes. And that is, of course, through Christ. His unchanging plan. It's a theological point called his immutability. His plan won't change. The unlike Tiger Air, his schedule will not change. It's always been, because it was done before the world was made. His plan has always been to adopt us. He's chosen, he wants us. Where does he want us? In his own family, not his own religion. I'm not even a fan of Christianity because it means all sorts of things nowadays. I'm a fan of being a Christ follower. I'm not a fan of a Christian nation. Who cares? If you read your history, Christian nations slaughtered people. I'm a fan of nations that have Christians in it. Groundswell Christians. People who love life, love the Lord. By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, he wants us with him. I can't explain what that'll be, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And this gave him great pleasure. You give him great pleasure. So you've got to make this scripture change the way you see yourself, change the way you see your standing before God. Stop thinking so much about your sin and start thinking more about God's plan for your life. No, I've sinned. Lord, I know I'm chosen. I know I'm wanted. I know I'm part of your family. This is fantastic. Best life right now. Best life right now. So be full of Christ. The New Testament says, be abound in grace. Let grace abound in you. Because when you look at that scripture, you realize that you have fallen short. You aren't perfect. And it's through Christ that all of these things change for us. Let Christ change you and the way you think. I used to be a police officer before I was a pastor. And I remember one night shift, so I'm finishing now. I had to work night shift for a whole week with a guy named Dave. He was a big man. He had red hair and was twice the size of me. Scary. Scary man. And, you know, when you gather with your police buddies and they know you're a believer, they knew I was a believer, they would openly mock you, tease you, call your names, talk about happy clapping and who you're going to be worshipping on Sunday. They tend to forget that I'm carrying a firearm in my holster and I'm just a little jittery. I just keep seeing camouflage faces. And that's okay. I don't respond. Just smile. I laugh with them. I don't get angry. Just laugh with them. It's cool. No worries, dude. Enjoy hell. Sorry. But you know, when we're out working the late shifts, when they're on their own, they ask me about how to raise their teenage children. They ask me about the difficulties they're having with their wives. They ask me about the health concerns they've got. Find myself praying for the mockers. So I work with Dave. I'm working with him night shift for a whole week, 7 nights in a row. So I can still remember getting into the car. It's 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. We're heading out the road. And so he's sitting there and Patrick's saying, he leans over and he goes, right, churchy boy, 7 nights. Tell me about this Christianity thing. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Yeah, come on. Hit me up. Give me everything you got. 7 nights. And so whilst we are dragging drunks out of cars, so yeah, so Jesus died on the cross for you and all of your sins, and just open the van door. Get in there, brah! And sort of like that, all of our sins were banished and put in the van and taken away. It was a pretty good deal, you know? And we went through 7 nights of him asking questions and me answering at my very average best. I wasn't a pastor. I hadn't done Bible college. I'd read my Bible a couple of times. Some words. I knew the book of maps front to back. And at the end, the last morning, because the sun's up and we're driving in to fuel up, we're driving in after 7 days, and he says to me, you know what, Darren, this has been fantastic. Being able to hear all about Christianity and Jesus Christ and all that faith that you believe in, the church and all it does throughout the world, it's just been brilliant. It's been a real eye-opener. But I must tell you that I've decided it's not for me. My sister's a Christian and she is dead set weird. And I don't want to be anything to do with what she's to do with. You're a little bit different, but it's not for me. So he trusted me because I was like him. I was dressed in the same clothes as him. I faced the same pressures as him. But because weird sister who just reposts Christian memes on her Facebook, does nothing else, just that, he was like, shivers, it's just too much. And so he says, not for him. Okay, it's cool. 3 weeks later, Dave was on his police bike racing to a serious emergency, crossing through an intersection. Two cars crashed into him, sandwiched him, and he died 3 days later. This life is not just about paying your mortgage and paying your bills, doing your kids' hair. This is just like that. It is a serious, serious business that has eternal consequences. Every person in your circle, dress like them, you talk like them. You are the only fresh breeze in their world. Don't stink it up. Don't stink it up. Just be good. Be helpful. Be loving. Be listening. Be caring. Just be a blessing to them in their world. And one day, even if they mock you, one day they'll come and ask you a question. And what will you say? Well, long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. It has always been his unchanging plan to adopt us into his own family through Jesus. And this gave him great pleasure. You are a great pleasure to the Lord. Let me pray for you. Now, before I pray, do you have someone you know, a Dave in your world, that you would like me to pray for? If you do, I'd like you to stand. I have a Dave in my world, someone in my circle, someone who I think is seeking, someone who is close, someone is maybe halfway, someone is just around me. And Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your help. I need to be that fresh breeze. I need my conscience Holy Spirited so I know what to say and not say. Lord, I pray for all these Daves. Lord, these people are so valuable to you. So valuable, Lord. On this battlefield of life, I pray for each and every one of these people. You would bless them, encourage them, stir them. Let them know that this is so important. So important. Eternity is teetering on the edge. These people may never get another chance to meet with you. Lord, you brought Dave into my world because you knew his time was coming. And Lord, all of these people, you've brought someone across their path. What a privilege that is. What an excitement. I pray you would put your magnificence in their heart. Let them know exactly where they stand with you, how they give you great pleasure. And Lord, I pray that their fresh breeze, their joy, their life, Lord, their clear vision of the future, their lack of fear for the political shenanigans going on in our world, Lord, their being consumed with the goodness of you, Lord, will get into their hearts, just a seed sown into their hearts. I pray for all these people that we would see great fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless them as they share their faith, they share their life, they share a coffee, they share a word of encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.